Well, this is in the Lord's Recovery, a rare kind of meeting or conference. There were times that Brother Lee would talk to some older saints, but not in a conference, maybe at home, you know, maybe in some more regular social instances or occasions, but to have a conference for, quote, quote, the seniors, and I found out really that's a bit inaccurate for this morning. They set the ceiling for this conference, age-wise, is actually 55. Now, that doesn't fall into my definition of a senior. Does it to you? That's more middle age, right? No? Well, some people age faster, maybe, then you can consider yourself a senior, but typically I would think more like 60 at least, maybe 65, you know, the official retirement age. But still, to have some middle age here. But now I heard that there are a lot more people who retire early. So maybe because of that, they consider themselves senior. But I don't know. I just have this kind of a burden, not because I'm an age person or I'm a senior. I really am a senior, over 70. But for the longest time, I had a burden for older folks, brothers and sisters, in the Lord and in the Lord's recovery. So as far as I can remember, I started or I participated, or I engaged myself with senior saints back in, I'm going to say, the early 90s, maybe, the early 90s. At that time, I would be just in my early 40s, so I was hardly a senior myself, but I just have some feeling, because there were senior saints among us. I'm talking about, this is all in Southern California, in the churches there, and I was serving mostly among the Chinese-speaking saints at the time. So we did have these immigrant saints that are all older, and they would meet together here and there. So I was invited to their midst, and I fell in love with them. And now I may be inaccurate with this, but you just forgive me if I'm not accurate. I might be the one, at least in the Chinese world, who coined the term the Evergreen Saints. Have you heard of such a name?
Yeah.
Have you? The Evergreen Saints. And in Chinese, 长青圣徒, huh? The Evergreen Saints. And I have a basis for that, and that would be Psalm 92, which we're going to get into this morning. And evergreen, you know, the verse here in Psalm is that, let me see here, Psalm 92, verses 12 through 14, let me read it to you. The righteous man will flourish like the palm tree. He will grow like a cedar in Lebanon, planted in the house of Jehovah. They will flourish in the courts of our God. They will still bring forth fruit in old age. In old age. All right? Once they were young, then they became old, but they will still bring forth fruit in old age. It's just like a woman who is Sarah's age. You remember Sarah? Right? Old, and the womb is dried up and closed, and by human age, she was absolutely out of the childbearing period of time. Yet Jehovah promised Abraham and Sarah that they will have their own child, their own seed, biologically, physically. And that, you remember the famous visit of Jehovah to Abraham and Sarah, and he would say, you know, next time this year, it will be the time of life, and you're going to have a child. Remember what Sarah did? Sarah laughed. And by the name, I think that's Isaac. Right? So Sarah more than chuckled. You know, Sarah laughed like, hey, come on. Is it a joke or what? You know, this must be one of the biggest jokes I've ever heard of, that I, at this advanced age, is going to have my own baby. No way. I think she laughed not only once, she laughed twice. And then when Jehovah say, hey, I heard, saw you laugh, he said, no, I didn't laugh. Who would dare to laugh at Jehovah? You are really crazy, right? But God's promise is God's promise. And surely at the time of life, they had a child, Isaac. Now, here we're talking about these trees in the courts of the Lord that were planted there. They're stationary there. They are securely planted in the house of Jehovah. And they flourish. They've been flourishing in the courts of God. But here the word is that they will still bring forth fruit, bear fruit, have children, have descendants, have babies in old age. I hope just as a starter, you should be all be happy right now. You should be encouraged right now. And we're going to talk about this, how we old people can have babies. You like this conference? How old people can have kids. How old branches can bear fruit. That's the word here. They will be full of sap and green. At an old age, they should be dried up, all right? They should be empty. They should have diminished greatly. But they will be still full of sap and green because they are planted in the right place. And that is in the house and courts of Jehovah God. And today, that means really our church life. It is in Christ, but also it is in the church life. We can do that. We can defy physical laws, all right? We can defy all the human experiences, the typical human experiences, and bear fruit at an old age. It doesn't say how old, it just say old. So I coined the term evergreen saints. You like that? Amen. So we're here, evergreen saints. Me too. Now, so many years later, I'm not 40-something. Now I'm 70-something. I actually now belong to this group. Okay, I'm one of them, whether I like it or not. I like to testify to you, if I may, following Brother Lee's example, who said at his older age, 70s, 80s, or maybe 90s, I like to testify that today I am younger than when I was 40s. Now, if you ask my shoulders, they will not say that, right? But if you ask me, I'm going to tell you that today I am younger than ever before. I like to testify to you today, I'm full of sap and green. Amen. I hope you can say the same. I'd like to testify today that I'm still bearing fruit.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen.
And this is what this conference is all about. Now, what are we going to do? We're going to have three sessions today. The brothers will tell us what time to have a break in between the first and second sessions in the morning. And then we're going to have a lunch break, a little longer time. And we'll have the third session. And then we will end after that. And in your hands, as you were coming in, you got this little booklet with three outlines there that we have prepared for you. This whole week, I've been spending time before the Lord to prepare for this time. And as I was before the Lord with His Word and with these the ministry and with these quite wonderful outlines, I became more and more clear that I should not stick to these outlines. That I should rather take the liberty to be free. Because I'm too young to be stuck, okay? I'd like to be free as a bird, as a young bird. And that is because I have a lot of feeling. I have a lot of stuff in my heart that I like to share with you. And sometimes when you have outlines, this and that, you just kind of restrict it. You're kind of confined. And I don't like that. I like to have a free time of free talks with you and to follow the Spirit. Then you say, well, okay, then what happens if you don't finish these outlines? Well, I have a very easy answer. Let's have another conference. Well, maybe two, because we have three outlines. Maybe the Lord will allow us to cover just one outline this morning, today. Then how about we have another conference?
Amen.
Cover outline two.
Amen.
And another one to cover outline three.
Amen.
You like that?
Amen.
You're not too old for that?
No.
Okay. All right. Okay. Okay. All right. Let's see how the Lord leads. So, since I have that liberty now to be extemporaneous, to be free, freestyle, I'll take advantage of that. Now, I'm not here to going to shoot the breeze with you, to banter with you, just to waste your time. We're here, brothers and sisters, as I was walking in the back, when many of you were here, I looked back, I saw all the gray hairs, not the silver hairs, actually, a better description, a more honorable description. Not gray, but silver, okay? And some other salt and pepper, right? And myself as well. I would like to tell you that was a delightful sight. Now, many of you know, and my burden for young people, the next gen, right? Always perfect them. It's time to move on, to put the burden on the younger generation, yes, we absolutely need to do that. And I'm ready to pour out myself, and I am pouring out myself all the time to help perfect another generation to take the torch of the Lord's recovery onwards. But at the same time, I would like to tell you that does not mean the older generation is done. The older generation is useless. The older generation has finished their course. The older generation should retire. Not at all. And I'm going to convince you this morning if you don't believe that. All right? From the Word. So, I think, and I'm going to challenge you, that this new revival, we call it, the greatest revival, that awaits us that our dear brother Lee was so burdened for before he departed to be with the Lord, charging us, some of us, at least the leading brothers at that time, to pray daily for it, to pray every day for that revival to come forth in the Lord's recovery, not the Pentecostal kind, not the kind that is speaking in tongues and works of wonder, healing, revival has come, not that kind, okay? But truly an organic revival, a divinely inspired revival, a true revival that would help to usher in the Lord's advent, the Lord's coming. So I challenge you, even at the outset now, I challenge myself, how about we, the older saints, we bring forth this revival. It's not a revival for the young people merely to bring in. In fact, I can make a strong point that it takes the older ones, the mature ones, the experienced ones, the ones who are still faithful today, after so many decades in the church life, still here today, running the race, that these ones, as the Lord allows, that the Lord is sovereign, you know, our breath, our life are all in His hands. But as long as we live, as long as we have breath in us, as long as we can move, as long as we're still functional, in some way, we will help to bring forth this great revival. I absolutely believe that this revival is not just a young people's revival. It's not going to be just be brought in by young people, but very much by the prayers, by the services, by the shepherding work of the older brothers and sisters. So, dear brothers and sisters, we are not done, and we will never not be done until our last breath. How about that? Amen. You believe that? I believe it, and I'm living it. And every day, and maybe not every day, but often, I pray that the Lord would lengthen my life, would grant me longevity, which is a blessing in the Bible, not so that I can live longer. So what? You live longer, but purposeless. You do not have a meaningful life, then what's the point of living longer? Am I right? And endure the various sufferings that comes with aging and sicknesses and ailments and all of this? No. We pray for a longer life so that we can what? Finish, we can mature more in the Lord. There's still time for growth and maturity as long as we're living. That we can serve the Lord like Anna. We're going to talk about Anna. Simeon and Anna, you remember? 80 some years old, still serving day and night in the temple. Been a widow for a long, long time. Still serving. And was able to see the Savior with her eyes, her own eyes. She saw the Lord's coming the first time. I want to be that. If the Lord would take me before He comes, so be it. That is, we say amen. That is His sovereignty. As long as I live, this is my heart. And I hope this is your heart, that in the Lord's recovery, this will be the heart of all the older brothers and sisters. We are not here to sit down and just diminish and just fade away. No, we're here running the race still to the very end. We're here expecting His return. Look at the world situation. It's crazy, isn't it? But just cut past all the craziness, like the craziness yesterday. You know what I'm talking about. Don't be bothered by that stuff. There's a bigger picture. There's something going on behind the scene. In that realm, Christ is still managing and supervising and administrating all the affairs of this world, including all the leaders and kings and those in power on the earth, to work out something for His own move that is still going on and advancing.
Amen.
So cut past all the noise, cut past all the media, cut past all these things, and go to the Bible and read the Word. Then you lift up your eyes and look at the world situation again, and you will see things are still happening in front of our eyes right now. The fulfillment of the prophetic word from Daniel, from the prophets, from the Lord's own prediction, from the apostles' prophecies. Of course, including John, the very last one of the first apostles to write. It's happening, dear saints, right in front of our eyes. Related to the U.S., even though the U.S. was never mentioned in the Bible at all. But one can make certain inferences if you study the Word and you are knower of the world situation, not the exterior, but the what is going on behind the scenes. The Lord is near. And we can almost hear His footsteps. But that is not just a prophecy, you know, when the time's up, then the Lord would appear. No. He needs to come back to something, right? He needs to come back to a bride. He needs to come back to get His body in reality. He needs to have His kingdom established among some of His children on the earth today. And we are those people. We are part of that people in His recovery, or at least we should be. So, to take the Israel people's history as a picture, the two generations there, the one that exited Egypt, and therefore it's called Exodus, and that generation that enter into Canaan. It's two different generations. The first generation left Egypt under Moses, and because of their unbelief, because of their hardened heart, because of their rebellion that invoked the wrath of God, God promised that these will not enter into the land of their forefathers, the promised land of Canaan. But they have to sojourn for 40 long years in the wilderness. You know, the actual time, even if you walk from Egypt, past the Red Sea, into the good land, River Jordan, even with 2 million people, would be just a matter of weeks. But they took 40 years, and they're still not there. Because Jehovah would not allow that generation to enter. So they would stay in one place in the desert for years, for decades, before they decamp and move to the next spot. Most of them, they were strewn in the wilderness. And when the next generation came forth, they are the ones that Moses spoke to in the book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy means the second speaking. And there Moses rehearsed with this new generation what God has done, the wonders, the works, over 40-year period of time. And we pass on to them the law, the key ordinances, the statutes, all the things that made Israel a special nation. Not only the law, but God's promises and God's eventually blessing to his people, Israel. And that goes all the way back to the patriarchs, the forefathers of Israel. But two of the first generation made it. And that two did not include Moses because of his one failure. But Moses saw the land, and Moses gave the final word and charge that new generation to not do what their moms and dads did. But to keep the commandments, to love the Lord their God with all their heart and soul and mind and strength, and do the word of God. And at the end, Moses even had a song, prepare a song as his part of his departure, and promise me, he said, you will do this and pass this on from generation to generation. Only Caleb and Joshua made it in. Who are these? These two are the overcomers. The majority of God's people did not make it. Only these two. The principle is the same today, that the vast number of God's people would not enter into the good land, which is a type of the all-inclusive Christ. And not only Christ, but eventually the temple that was built there as the dwelling of God and as the enlargement of Christ, and that is the church. And eventually even the city of Jerusalem as the very kingdom in which the church exists. And so, brothers and sisters, we are called to that. We are called to enter into that land. Amen. We're called to enjoy Christ and to become his expression. and even to become his kingdom, where he can rule and reign. This is the vision that we have seen in the Lord's recovery, and this is the calling of the Lord to us in the Lord's recovery. So whether it's some of us who came into the Lord's recovery in our teens, I came into the Lord's recovery practically in this country when I was just entering into college. So that's 50-some years ago. I'm still here because I've not fully entered into this land yet. I've not fully enjoyed this Christ yet. We're still on our way. And so, my dear brothers and sisters, my contemporaries, all of us here, I believe, are lovers of Christ. All of you are pursuers of Christ. And that's why we're here. And this is not just about us being spiritual, having a relatively good life, and all of that. It is about us, if the Lord would be merciful, to be one who can welcome the Lord back. Amen. That can see him. That can have a way into the millennium, that kingdom age. I hope that fire that was put into us when we were young, surely it was put into me, is still burning. Still burning today. So I'm here freestyle, right? You're still okay? Are you still okay? You know why I asked us to sing 1151? Do come, do come. Because I wrote it. But it's not just because I wrote it. Only recently, I found out some history of that song that I wrote. You said, when did I write it? I wrote it when I was 19. Right around the time that I came into the recovery in this country. I cannot take credit for writing that hymn alone, because I wrote it after a meeting. A meeting in Eldon Hall, where there were several hundred people. Those are prayer meetings in those days, where the attendance on a Tuesday night prayer meeting is almost the same as Lord's Day morning. A little less, but almost the same. Powerful prayers. In those days, the church was prayer reading. In the prayer meetings, they just pray. What were they pre-reading? They were pre-reading Revelation. And when I got in there, they were pre-reading Revelation, the last two chapters. In fact, that meeting was the last chapter, chapter 22, about the holy city with the river, right? With the tree. And that final call in the whole Bible, come. Come and take the water of life freely. Amen. And at the end, the Spirit and the bride say, come. I tell you, I've probably not been into a prayer meeting like that ever again. We were in the heavenlies. It's fireworks all over the place. It was the Spirit moving in the body. And those prayers were unusual, to say the least. And I was there. And I mean, God was in the midst. And it was so inspiring and so moving and so impactful. And I was just in the meeting, just totally taken up by that. And after that meeting, I ran back to my apartment with some brothers, and pick up my pen and a piece of paper, and I wrote that song. Now today, if you write hymns and all of that, there's a lot to be criticized in that song. Some of the words are not rhyming. Some of them, I'm thinking of rewriting them. Then the Lord say, what? Rewrite? Just leave it. It has helped a lot of people. And it's all its imperfections. Now, I'm not here to boast about my hymn writing or even this particular hymn. I'd like to tell you a story. And that is, I wrote it, and it became kind of popular among the young people, of whom I was one. Fast forward, that was about 1969 or 1970. Fast forward to 1995 or 6. Brother Lee was, I think, speaking on the crystallization study of the book of John in the 90s. Huh? And there, before the meeting, he met with the co-workers to pray. And he said, what song should we sing? He asked. Nobody said anything. He said, let's sing 1151. It kind of matches his burden in that meeting. Then he said, who wrote this? I mean, innocently, he really didn't know who wrote it. Nobody said anything. Surely I didn't say anything. But a brother who sat next to me, kind of like this guy wrote it, you know. And I look at Brother Lee. He didn't show any emotions. But clearly he was surprised. Okay, so let's sing this hymn. Amen. So we went out there to the meeting. Were you there, Chuck, at that time? 95, 96? I don't know. And somehow in the middle of the meeting sometime, he talked about this hymn. We sang 1151 today. Then he said, the writer of this hymn, stand up. Now, I just found this out because I had forgotten about the whole episode. I think I was so traumatized that I forgot about it. I really did not remember. Even now, I don't quite remember. But it happened. So I have to stand up, of course. And then Brother Lee began to talk about himself, his experience. He said, in 1972, that year, Brother Watchman Nee died. All right? The end of May. Brother Lee was in Cleveland, Ohio, giving a conference. And the word was passed on to him that Watchman Nee had died. And One of the rare occasions, Brother Lee wept in the public. And he said at that time, this song, 1151, encouraged and comforted him. He said wrongly, sorry to correct Brother Lee, that whoever wrote this, wrote it around that time, or not long before that time, in such and such a place in the Midwest. Well, that was not the case. It was written by this guy in LA a few years ago. Then Brother Lee said this, and this is all recorded in video, and a brother actually went back to watch the video and jot down what took place. So this is quite accurate. And there was a brother sitting there, and I don't want to mention name because he's still alive, but unfortunately this person, a senior co-worker, left the recovery from Cleveland. Some of you may know what I'm talking about. He said so-and-so, mentioning that brother's name, who was visiting Anaheim at the time. He said, when he said this, Brother Lee said, he said, my tears are running down now. I don't know if that was a tears because of his memory of Watchman Nee or because of what. Then he said, my brother wrote that hymn, this hymn, my brother referring to me. Brother Lee never called me his brother in my whole time of serving with him. In fact, Brother Lee never in my memory, you know, pat me on the back or praise me. And Brother Lee is just not that way. But in this particular moment, he did that. Now, again, dear saints, forget about me, okay? Just forget about that. That experience shocked me, traumatized me in a way. And dear saints, comforted me and encouraged me. For Brother Lee to say something like that in public. What's my point? I forgot what's my point in talking about, oh, the song, right? The song that we sang. Whether we write hymns, whether we write hymns brotherly like, that's not immaterial. That's not the point. The point is God's mercy, God's preservation, and God's compassion that many of us are still here after so many years. We made our share of mistakes, right? I did. We went through thick and thin, rebellions, turmoils, so many things. And today we're here with wrinkles and creases and silver hair, pains and whatever. We're still here. And not only we're still here, You're still sitting here. Dear brothers and sisters, this is not a small thing. Not a small thing. The Lord treasure us as we treasure Him. The Lord needs us as we need Him. No, I'm just this week, this old hymn is just in me. I need thee every hour. You know that simple, simple hymn. But the Lord would say, I need you. I need you for my purpose to be fulfilled. I need you to overcome because my church has degraded. My church has failed. The church is not going in this age, going to execute and work out God's heart's desire. No. It's the overcomers. Those who would undergo all the things, sin, the world, the self, the soul life, the all things, the sufferings, the persecutions, the tribulations. They undergo to overcome. Brothers and sisters, the Lord needs us. The Lord needs you at this age. At this age. When I mentioned that brother who left, it is always with great sadness we say that. Ones that were gifted, useful, have a measure of experience of the Lord, but did not finish the race. They drop out. They went sideways. They fouled. They crossed the lane. They could not finish. And here we are. Here we are, brothers and sisters. We're not that gifted. We're not that great. We're not so accomplished. But we're still here. We're still here. We still love Him. We still follow Him. We still love this ministry, don't we? We still love His church, His testimony, the church life. So, brothers, yes, and sisters, yes, we are aging. Yes, we're getting older. Yes, physically, outwardly, is sunset. But these conferences, I'm going to tell you the good news. Yes to all of that. But there is a word in Proverbs, and I'm going to get into this with the remaining time. But the path of the righteous is like the light of dawn, which shines brighter and brighter until the full day. I'd like to gift that verse to you, brothers and sisters. Let us all be the light of dawn. That light of dawn. That means the sunrise. This actually signifies the Lord's coming. You know, the morning star, the day dawns. But this also figures and signifies, or can signify, our being revived on a daily basis, on a constant basis today. That our Christian life, our life at this time in the church, can be like the dawning of the sun. We should follow the sun, the real sun, S-O-N, to be revived and have many, many new beginnings. And then we should continue in this rising and shining state daily, brighter and brighter until the full day, which is the day of the kingdom. Now this gives our life meaning and purpose. The Lord needs the older saints, many older saints in the church life, to live in this reality. Not of hopelessness, but an existence filled with anticipation of the Lord's return. Now, this may be a good time for us to get to whatever we can get to in this first outline. Now, what time is it? It's 11:08, am I right? 04. Huh? 04. 04, okay. I don't know what to do. I'm lost. Okay. You can turn to your outline. It says here, enjoying Christ. This is for older saints, all right? This is for you and me. Enjoying Christ as the eternal, never-aging life. Brothers and sisters, do you know what you have in you? You have something in you, A, that is eternal in essence and nature. You know eternal? Everlasting, never die, last forever. It's the eternal life of God, that uncreated life, the divine life. That life is in us. How about that? And this life never ages. Yeah, you and I are aging, okay? But this life that is in us never ages. Amen. Never ages. Amen. Never ages. Amen. I think you should, when you go home in your car, into your backyard or whatever, and you should just shout this to yourself and to the whole creation, and definitely to the devil. The life in me is eternal. Amen. That means this physical thing, tabernacle, may be dropped, or physically I may die, but me, I live forever. Amen. I have God's life within me. Amen. I have the life of the eternal God within me. Amen. That life is divine.
Amen.
That life is eternal.
Amen.
I have that life within me.
Amen.
How about even in our deathbed? How about that? Instead of staring at the ceiling and sighing with the last breath, I have eternal life.
Amen.
And that life never ages. It doesn't go old, and hence it's evergreen, as green as God is. Father, thou art the evergreen, so that our old age may be days of fullness and blessing. Truly, we should not be getting old in this sense. Truly, we should what? Be as young as ever. So even our old age, in our old age, those days in our old physical age would be days not of shriveling up, not of diminishing, not of deterioration, but should be days of fullness. The older we get, the fuller we become.
Amen.
And days of blessing. Not just blessing for ourselves to enjoy, but for blessing that we can bless others with.
Amen.
If a local church have older saints like this, I will tell you, that church is blessed. I've been to churches, many churches, and their churches, for this or that reason, does not have older saints like this. Something is missing. I thought before, when I was young, the way is to have just the young army church, everyone young. That church is prevailing, that church is powerful, that church is fruitful. I was wrong. We need the older saints, the evergreen saints, the saints who have touched eternity more than the young people have. One, in regeneration, we receive the eternal life, a never aging life. When we were born from our physical parents, that life will age, that life will die, that life will terminate. That life is limited, absolutely. And all of the descendants of Adam have inherited such a life. But in regeneration, the second birth, brothers and sisters, we receive a totally different life, the life of God, not the life of a man.
Amen.
And that life is eternal. That life is never aging.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Brothers and sisters, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Psalm 103:5 says, so that your youth is renewed like an eagle. How about that?
Amen.
Your youth is renewed like an eagle. You know, an eagle that just soars, an eagle that just not just flies, an eagle that is God, right? Eagle in the Old Testament is a figure of God. It just soars, it just never gets old. And even our youth is constantly renewed, renewed. Are you young or are you old, brothers and sisters? Let me ask you. Huh? Well, again, it's one of those it depends questions, right? Outwardly, maybe I'm getting old. But inwardly, I am being renewed. Even my youth is being renewed. I'm a young old man. Or I'm an old young man. Both are correct. But not, I'm not an old man. That's wrong. Or to say, I'm a young man. Yeah, that's... But I'm a young old man and an old young man. And my youth is being renewed like an eagle. Inwardly, I can fly just like a young man can. I can soar just like a young person can. In the meetings, in the church, in my prayers, in my hymning, in so many ways, I am still mount on eagle's wings. We like to encourage the young people to learn more because young people learn everything quickly. However, the older ones should not be discouraged. It's brotherly talking here. That's true. We don't learn everything quickly. You cannot teach old dogs new tricks. Hey, strike that. We're not old dogs here. I refuse to be an old dog. And neither are we here learning new tricks. We don't care for tricks. We are regenerated children of God with the Father's eternal life. Even if we are old, our youth can be renewed. And we can still have the opportunity to learn. That is true. That is true. You know, they say age is what you think, you know? There's some truth to that. But in our case, it's not just what we think. It's the reality that we really have. We have that eternal life. That life is not 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. That life is like this, right? There's no number to it. There's no days, decades, millenniums to it. It's just eternal. It's timeless. We live in that timelessness. If we live in that life, if we enjoy that life every day. B, we saved ones are regenerated people. Once we're regenerated, we cannot get old. Amen?
Amen.
Just say, I cannot get old.
I cannot get old.
Yeah, it's true. Even in our deathbed, we can say that. I cannot get old. Because of the life that is within me. Simple as that. One, the life that we receive in our regeneration is not like the gradually declining life that people experience in almost all parts of their body, of their being. We receive the gradually declining life that we receive by birth. The life that we receive in our regeneration is a life that grows daily and is an eternal life. This life, listen, grows. It grows. It doesn't never stop growing. But it never gets to a point that that growth would stop. And it starts to decline, like your physical life. This life continues to grow and grow and grow and grow and grow.
Amen.
Into more and more maturity. Two, today the reason some of the elderly saints are so lively. Oh, I've seen that. I've seen that. Elder saints can be so lively is that they have the eternal life in them, their youth is being renewed day by day. Now, don't try to act like a teenager. That's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about a dynamic existence, a life that is vital all the time, living and active within. Even outwardly, you cannot move about so easily. You don't have that much strength. You may be even be have sickness, but inwardly, it's a different story. you're living as God is. Your youth is being renewed day by day. You know, 2 Corinthians now makes much more sense. Though the outward man is decaying, is being consumed, but the inward man that has that eternal life, is being renewed day by day. Every day, dear saints, we're not just getting older. Every day we're being renewed. Even our youth is being renewed. We're getting, therefore, younger by the day. We have a life in us that is a never-aging life. When this life is expressed in us, it becomes joy because our Lord is the Lord of joy. I think this is good enough for this first session. Sorry, all this freestyle talk, and I only got to A and B. Are you okay with me? Am I just saying things to butter you up?
No.
Am I just saying something to make you feel good?
No.
No. I mean every word that I said. Brothers and sisters, we are blessed to be living today at our age.
Amen.
We are evergreen. We have the life of God. We will not age,
Amen.
Nor grow old.
Amen.
What a life that we have received.
Amen.
I have a feeling that the next session, I will only cover C and D. You know why? Because I'm going to talk to you about trees. All right? I'm going to talk to you about trees. There's a picture in the book of Psalms. You know, out there, this blending center, there's a logo. What do you think that logo looks like? Huh? It's deliberately made to look ambiguous. It looks both like a spring with water coming up, and it looks like a tree. So now you get it. It's the tree of life and what? And the fountain of life. That's the blending center we're in. I'd like to tell you, that logo should be you and me. So drink a river pure and clear that's flowing from the throne. Eat the tree of life abundantly, richly, what? Abundantly grown. Right? And then what? Look, no need for lamp or sun or moon to keep it bright. For here there is no night. Do come, oh, do come, says Spirit and the Bride. Do come, oh, do come, let him heareth cry. Do come, oh, do come, let him who thirst and will take the water of life. Sisters, do come, oh, do come. Stand up. Do come, oh, do come, let him that heareth cry. Do come, oh, do come, let him who thirst and will take freely the water of life. Brothers, do come, oh, do come, says Spirit and the Bride.